Your next criteria on language is more a matter of style from last unit than it is of delivery, isn't it?
Actually, yes, but it also figures in here as well. When we talk about style, you're right, we're talking there about crafting the words in the most creative and advantageous way. But when we talk about delivery, we also want to be sure that those words come out the way we want them to come out. For example, we certainly want to consider pronunciation. We want to see that the words are sounded in the way the dictionary says they should be. We want to say syllable, not syllable, if that's the way the dictionary says the word should be pronounced. We also want to consider enunciation, or articulation, or diction. That is, to see that the words are formed clearly, distinctly, not run together or sounded in a slovenly way. We want to see, for example, that we don't drop the G's on the end of our ING's. We want to be sure that our words really are formed fully and clearly. When we talk about language in pronunciation or in delivery, we also want to be sure that our grammar is flawless. It's certainly possible to craft a perfectly flawless manuscript and yet make certain mistakes that might be characteristic for us individually. For example, to confuse the number agreement between a subject and verb, or to leave a hanging preposition at the end of a sentence and that sort of thing. These are things to which we want to give some care as we're delivering the sermon. We want to be sure, too, that in our delivery we don't fall into what we might call crutch phrases, to say, and then, or but, and stuff like that. Crutch phrases that we might fall back on again and again as a weak repetition in our sermons. We want our words to be lively. We want them to be appropriate to the situation, to the sermonic event. All of these things also are elements of language that really do have consideration when we're actually in the delivery of the sermon. As we look back on each of the criteria we've been discussing here for sermon delivery, not just language, but also projection, relationship to hearers, tone, inflection, pacing, and body, we may note that each one of these is enhanced or hindered by the delivery system that the preacher chooses. Remember we said from the outset that the preacher should choose whichever delivery system, full manuscript, nothing at all, a detailed outline, a sketch outline, whatever, that makes him most relaxed and best enables him to be himself in the pulpit. But remember we also said that he should try to choose that delivery system which best enables him to deliver the sermon by thinking in thoughts. Think again for just one moment about how much thinking in thoughts affects all of these elements. Projection, whether a pastor is going to be loud at a moment or very, very soft, should be driven by the content of what he's saying, so that as he is in the pulpit considering the import of that particular moment, as he's weighing the thought he is speaking, he is motivated to adjust his volume accordingly. Relationship to hearers obviously is enhanced if he's able to be really conversing, dialoguing with the congregation, even though he's the only one speaking, rather than tuned in only on a manuscript that is down in front of him. The tone or inflection, whether it be an upper range oratorical or low intense, again, should be driven by the thoughts, by the content. Pacing, likewise. A more urgent moment, when the pace is picked up, be indicated by the fact that this is an important element in the sermon. The body, yes, it moves according to the thoughts. And to continue to think in thoughts is what enables the preacher to be intimate or aloof, to close a thought and take a step, to be more rigid or more relaxed physically. And just as the same, the language also should be indicated by the thoughts the preacher is using at that time. Once again, then, let's reiterate that all of these elements are driven by thinking and thoughts.